So this morning, just before I speak about this topic that's been given to me, I just want to give you a quick update because it's a long time since I've spoken in this church, must be at least 12 months, last year anyway, and a lot has happened. There's a lot of new faces in this church and it's great to see that. It's fantastic to see that. And some I don't recognise and probably some don't even recognise me. So, but I'm sure one or two friendly faces out there do know me, yeah. Last year I decided, after just praying and seeking God, that I would stand down from eldership in the church. And that's been, it's been a great time, great experience. And, but I'm not finished, you know. I'm not finished yet. Only when I get to heaven. And even then, I won't be finished. Well, it'll just be the beginning, really, if you think about it, yeah. But I just wanted to kind of update you because maybe one or two people think, you know, I am where I am. You know, I am actually where I am. Jenny and I are where we are. You know, we're just truly blessed by God. We have tons of challenges in our lives. We've got a lot going on. But God is good. In fact, God is great. God is great. So standing down from the eldership has been, it's been a blessing in a way, but, you know, you just kind of like miss what's, sometimes miss a little bit of what's going on, you know. And people like Gordon will remember, you know, the eldership meetings that they had going on till 2 o'clock in the morning here, you know. And they must have been very spiritual in those days. But so basically, my ministry is still to the people here, to my friends and family here at Kingsway. Our ministry, Jeannie and I, we stood down from the marriage ministry. But again, we just want to make ourselves available, you know, to God's people. So, you know, although we've formally stood back from that, we're not saying no, never. You know, we just want to be available for that. And one of my other hats that I wear here is trustee in the church. And again, it's a great honour to be serving in that capacity as well. And I actually found that when I stood down from eldership, it kind of somehow just freed me up to be more honest. and more sort of like focused on the things that I felt that God wanted me to do in the church. And but I'm here, always here. Rob and I and Tino meet up regularly, so we still have a dialogue, and it's great that happens. So that's basically where I'm up to at the moment. This morning, my text is from Ephesians. We've been listening to quite a few sermons on Ephesians, haven't we? And I hope that everyone has been sort of like listening and enjoying and taking it on board and applying it, you know, because that's what it's about, isn't it? You know, it's about actually not just coming here on a Sunday morning and just listening to an interesting sermon. The real business, the hard work starts when you go away from it, doesn't it? Because you think, you know, well, I'm challenged about that. What am I going to do about that? So we've been doing Ephesians, and that's where we are. So I've given a little title to my talk this morning. It's Word, Walk, Witness, and Work, okay? So I've left work to last, not because it is last, but because that's the way it is. I asked James to do that song, No Longer Slaves, because the scripture that I'm going to share with you in a minute is about slaves and masters, you know, and you think, well, slaves and masters, I'm sorry, but it's, you know, it's just not relevant, is it? Well, it may be more relevant than you think it is, you know. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And can you put that up, Pauline, please? Right. So we're just going to read the first three verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that particular piece of Scripture is kind of like the hinge for the whole of the book. It's that part that moves you on from the first three chapters of Ephesians into the next and final three chapters, because that is about written by Paul to kind of like not address particular problems in the church, but actually to encourage people and to tell them about what they had and what they've been given, what they've inherited in Christ, to maturity in Christ. So the first three chapters is about your position in Christ, and the next three chapters is about your practice, okay, or living, how you work that out. Yeah. Ephesians begins in heaven and works itself out in your home, in your family, in your workplace. Yeah. Every relationship, whether it's between leaders in the church or leaders in politics, believers with non-believers, families, husbands and wives, children and parents, has to be transformed by the new life that we have in Christ. Yeah? So it's not just interesting, pretty words on a piece of paper. It actually has the challenge of how do I outwork that in my life? How do I make sure that that is the reality of my relationship with my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my work colleague, my boss? Yeah, all of these things, all relationships. It's one of the things that we've taught about in the marriage is about the relationship between husbands and wives. And it says earlier in that, later on in Ephesians, it talks about wives and husbands, the relationship between them. Wives are called to be subject to husbands, but only as to the Lord. Yeah? So it's not a kind of like, shut up and do what I say, kind of like subjection. It's an honouring subjection. And husbands are called to love the wives as Christ loved the Lord. Children are called to obey and honour the parents as God's children are called to obey and honour the Heavenly Father. And that includes, by the way, grown-up children, yeah. That's us, by the way. And parents, especially fathers, are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And slaves are called to be obedient to the master. That's a tough challenge, isn't it? To be obedient, yeah. All our relationships are to model the relationship we have with Christ and to be grounded in Christ. So whatever you do, however you relate to anybody at all, is to be modeled on the very relationship that you have with Christ. So it follows that if your relationship with Christ isn't quite right, then your relationship with others might be just a little bit out of kilter. Yeah. So think about that. Yeah. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? So let's go on to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses that I wanted to read this morning. Verses 5 to 9. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service. You see, very often we only do what we're supposed to be doing when we're being watched, especially at work. Yeah. I'm going to come on to that in a bit. But sometimes, you know, what Paul is saying here is that, you know, when you do something, do it with all your heart. You know, as though God himself is watching you. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as God bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same thing to them. If you're giving up threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. So if you are in the workplace, that's how you respond. That's how you do your job. If you're in the workplace and you're a boss, just remember, God's your boss. Yeah? And so you're accountable as well. Yeah. So in all our relationships, to model with Christ and to be grounded in Christ, as I said before. Slaves in Greek and Roman culture had no legal rights and were treated as commodities. There was much abuse and seldom good treatment. A lot of people will say, why doesn't the Bible speak out against slavery? Because it's one of those things, isn't it? A great social cultural move that happened, you know, and the freedom of slaves and so on and so forth. If you want to read some scriptures in the Old Testament, the Bible is not condoning slavery. It speaks out about the abuses of those relationships. Yeah. So read some about them in the Old Testament. When he talks about obedience, Paul is referring to continuous, uninterrupted submission to an earthly master or employer. The only exception being in regard to any command that involves clear disobedience to God's word. Pauline, can you just put up that Acts chapter 4. This is when, it's 19 to 20, is it? Yeah. Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, and they're being basically told not to continue preaching the good news and to stop it henceforth. But that was against God's word itself. And so they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. I love this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, how often should that apply to us, that we cannot? Yeah? We cannot but speak the things for which we have seen and heard, the things that God has done in our lives. Can we stop speaking about them? No, we shouldn't be able to, should we? Jesus spoke about masters and slaves, masters and servants. And in the parable of the talents, if you could put that up, Pauline. Matthew chapter 25. I'm sure you all know this. Yeah. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Yeah, keep going. And then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he had received 5 talents, came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me to 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. And the same with the 2 talents as well. So the servant who had invested 5 talents and 2 talents were given the same reward. The person who dug the ground up, put the money in, was given no reward. And this is a story. It's a story, you know, the parable is a heavenly message with an earthly meaning. That's what a parable is about. You know, so when Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, he used parables to demonstrate this is how it is in the kingdom of God. And so who's the man who's gone away here? Who is it? Who's the one who's left his servant in charge and gone away? It's Jesus, right? And who are the ones to whom the talents have been given to do something about them? That is us as believers, yeah? And so there is a relationship between our heavenly master and us as his servants and what Jesus wants us to do. I think that Jesus is interested in how well we do it. In other words, how much we can get from what we've done. But more importantly, he is interested in our faithfulness, isn't he? It's faithful with what you've been given. The challenge for us is to be faithful with what we're given. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that when God has given you small things and you've done well with them, he's going to give you even greater things than that. Yeah. This is a nice little story that I've picked up. It demonstrates the same type of thing, really. A young man left his employer, who was a lumber merchant, and began business in opposition to him. For a while, he prospered greatly and got many orders that would have gone to the firm he had left. But just when his business seemed to be most flourishing and he had more orders than he could supply, a great fire in his yard destroyed all the lumber. The day after the fire, the young man saw his old employer coming towards his office, and he said, "I could have hated him, for I thought he was coming to gloat over my misfortune. But he came to me as a friend in need, and he said to me, 'I know you're contracted to supply lumber to your customers by certain dates, and this unfortunate fire makes it impossible for you to do it. What would you expect? But my lumber yard is at your disposal. You can have what you need and pay me at your own convenience. Your business may go on as usual.' The young man was overwhelmed by this example, and the hatred that he'd felt gave place to love." Yeah. So he thought that, you know, his old employer had come to gloat. And sometimes we expect that, you know, that people who see us in difficult positions, we think they're going to come to gloat, actually. You know. But actually, you know. And it's the way that we are to respond as well, you know. You know. If somebody's in need, we need to help them. Yeah. So I wanted to talk at quite a practical level about employers, employees this morning, because that's the analogy that we're having, okay? So what I'm saying to you this morning, in substance really, is about how we, as people who work in our workplace, whether we're an employee or whether we are a business and whether you're self-employed or whatever, this is how the Bible is calling us to conduct ourselves. So it's quite challenging, really, you know, because the workplace is sometimes a difficult place. Yesterday we had the men's breakfast, didn't we, Paul? Where is he? Paul. Jim. Two guys who gave testimony about their workplace. And it's interesting when you hear what's going on and the challenges that are, you know. And it is a challenge to be godlike in a place of work. I'm glad you came this morning, Len. I really am. Because Len Grates and I, it must be 45 years ago, worked at Seaforth Nick together. I don't think we were ever on the same shift, were we? But we kind of like, we were there. And I remember Len. And I wasn't a Christian then. In fact, I was as far as I possibly could be. But I remember Len. I remember his example. I remember the way that he conducted himself. You know, and And as a policeman as well, it's a very difficult call. Where's our other copper, resident copper? Jay? Is he downstairs? Oh, it's the end about him now, cancer. But if you speak to the likes of Jay and that, you'll find that, you know, it is very difficult to be a Christian and in an environment like that. But I do remember, and I just want to honour you for that, you know, because I do remember it, you know, and it spoke to me then, but it took a long time for it to sink in. Thank you. So what are some of the things that distinguish us or distinguish you as Christians in your workplace? So the first thing I want to say is integrity. Integrity is about Christ-centered living. It's about doing what's right rather than what is expedient. I'm sorry, I got mixed up there. I was speaking first about business employers here. So if you're in business or self-employed, where's John Elms? Is he here? He said, is he? Hi, John. You said you were going to be here. So I said we're going to pray for you later on. We are. John's in business. And there are other people in business as well. John Shergold in business as well. Other people in business. So we've got business people amongst us, you know. And integrity, the way that you conduct your business, is important. Making decisions based on standards and principles of God's righteousness and truth and honesty. There's consistency between what the business says it does and what it actually does. No one can accuse them of hypocrisy. The greatest way to live with honour in this world is to be what we pretend to be. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, what are you pretending to be? And, you know, just be that person, you know. Be what God calls you to be. So Christian business is the epitome of integrity. That means we are who we say we are. I'm thinking about the Ashers. Do you remember the Ashers? People remember the Ashers, the Christian bakers in Northern Ireland. Do you remember what they've gone through over the years? And to me, I'm sure there are other examples of that, like that. But they're one to me that stand out. There are people who, they're Christians, they say what they believe in, and they believe what they say. And it's been very costly for them. It has been very costly, individually and as a business as well. They spoke out when somebody asked them to bake a cake in support of homosexual marriage. And they decided that they weren't going to do that. And they got dragged through the courts. And it's still going on as well. So, you know, we just need to keep praying for them as well. So the next thing is commitment to excellence. So Titus 3:8, Pauline, Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. What does profitable to men mean? It means profitable to those who are not yet Christians. The gospel speaking to them. It's profitable to men. So if your business is to be recognized as an exemplary one whose goal is to glorify God through its commitment to excellence in its service and product, it must always honour God by being the very best. Being the very best. Never forgetting that God has called you to be his witness in the world in which you do business. So thirdly, commitment to employees as well. This includes the areas of fair compensation, performance recognition, and providing growth opportunities professionally and personally. Business organizations, What I'm trying to say here, folks, is it sounds very grand, that. But actually, you know, the way that you treat people, the way that you treat... I was speaking about Len and I were in Lancashire Constabulary together. And at the time, it was the largest provincial police force in the country. 7,000 employees, more than 7,000 employees. And how an organisation deals and treats its employees is very important. So, but whether you are just one of a few employees or one of many, it's still the same. Yeah. Paul instructs believers, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Paul gave this command to employers because just as their employees report to them, they themselves have to report to their heavenly boss. Amazing. Yeah. Okay, I've spoken enough now because I've asked Don Courtney to come and just speak a few words. Don's had some interesting experiences in her workplace recently, so over to you, Don.
I can't believe I'm studying. Hey ho. Some of you may know I used to have my own business as a pram and nursery shop. And I used to deal with the public. Joe Public are not always, as Thomas say, not always very nice. We've had shoplifters, we've had an armed robbery, break-ins, I had 15 prams stolen that were ready to be picked up by new mums. I had a 3-year-old spit at me because I told him off. So, you know, it's not all good. But I've also had the chance where I've been able to support some mums when they've come in and they've had, say, the 20-week scan and they've said, you know, they've had some quite devastating diagnosis with the baby and they don't know whether the baby might survive, whether they're going to have heart problems and real. And being able to say to them, you know, well, I'll pray for you, you know, and I'm not big on that, but being able to just say that in that moment, people who've come in and their partners have left them and they've left with this big bill to pay for stuff and they've got no one to support them, and just saying, well, you know, I will, would you mind if I pray for you, you know. I always remember something that Dave Allen said here once, and I've always tried to stand by this when I have my business. It was, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And that's sometimes just the way it is. When you were speaking to people on a daily, just dropping that one line in, you know. The business went belly up 3 years ago quite dramatically. It was one of the lowest points in my life. Had a massive impact on all the family. My faith at times was non-existent, I'll be honest. One of my lowest points was when the kids emptied their penny jar at Christmas for our Christmas dinner, just before the shop closed. That just such a humbling. But even the kids, you know, and Dave, just their faith really kept me going. You know, like Thomas said about in your marriage, it's times like this when the stronger person will carry the other person. And at times, all he could do was just hold me as I cried. You know, he didn't know what to say. One thing he always would say to me, and I've never forgot it, and we've gone through a lot since then, you know, God's never let us down so far, so why would he start now? And we just had to keep standing on that when we worried whether we'd lose the house, you know, whether we'd have to take Lydia out of the Christian Fellowship School, which, thank God, we didn't. She was able to finish her studies, but it was a lot of little things and big things that the impact that it was having. The verse, I was looking at this morning, Psalm 30, verse 11, you've turned my mourning into dancing. In closing down, the one thing I wanted to do, and like Tom was saying about you doing the thing that's right, I went to great lengths to hunt down some customers who I didn't have addresses for or phone numbers, but they'd left deposits. And if there was one thing I wanted to do, there was no way that any one of my customers was going to go and think, oh, she closed and she had my money, you know. And I hunted them down, even if it was only for £20, I went and knocked on the doors and said, do you remember me? I'm from the shop. And you know, this is your £20. And I remember one lady saying to me, I'd got her number from somebody who was in a shop further down the road, and he knew of her, and somehow I got her number. And she just said to me, you didn't have to do this, you know. She said, I just thought the money had gone. And I said, but no, that was the thing I had to do. I wouldn't. So I just knew that morally, you know, I did the right thing. You know, to all the people you can in that saying, you know, just trying to do what's right. God's never let us down, you know. I just want to give the glory to God. You know, he's kept us all, you know, since then. Dave then got made redundant. That was my turn then to just hold Dave, and he was just so devastated. The November after that, I then unfairly lost my job that I did have. Again, it was just a massive, you know, just a big kick in the teeth. We just seem to have them every November. It's like, come on, Lord, what are you doing? But that last song we sung, you split the waves so I could walk right through it, you know, and we can stand here today, a family, all of us, you know, our faith, you know, God's never let us down, and he's not going to. There you go.
To put that back up. Thanks for that, Don. I really appreciate you. It's not easy, is it? But the workplace is not all doom and gloom, is it? No, is it? Some funny signs that you might find in an office. Okay. Pauline, can you put them up? Okay. Here we go. Right, anybody ever seen that? I'm busy now. Can I ignore you some other time? These are all meant to be funny, by the way. Put your specs on if you can't see the humour in them, okay? Just lighten up. Go on, keep going. The next one. What? All right. All right, okay. So we're all systems go now. Attitude adjusted whilst you wait. Yeah, yeah. Just take it back a little bit. Take it back a little bit, will you? Will it go back to the last one? All right, then, leave it. Yeah, that's it. Attitude adjusted whilst you wait. Okay, if you've got a bad attitude, you know, somebody's going to sort it out for you, aren't they? Right, yeah. That applies, actually, in the church just as much as the workplace. See, for some people, the church is the workplace. Is that right, Rob? Yeah. It's a ministry location. Okay, keep going. This one I like. This is a disgruntled employee who decided that he was going to have the last word, or she was going to have the last word. I'm leaving. Sorry for your loss. Yeah, keep going. Right, I love this one. Jesus is watching you steal Diet Cokes. John 7:37, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Yeah, I shouldn't be laughing at this, should I? Anyway, keep going. This is Debbie's fridge, all right? Everything marked in it is not Debbie's. Yeah. Anybody put stuff in their fridge at work, yeah, and it goes missing? Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah. It goes missing, yeah. Debbie's not Debbie's. Somebody's taking the mickey out of Debbie here, aren't they? You know, that's what they're doing, yeah. Next one, please. I love this. In case you can't read it, it says, this is a broken down printer, and they're going to call it Bob Marley. Why? Because it's always jamming. And it says, it says underneath, don't worry about the ink, because everything you print going to turn out white. I love that. I love that, yeah. It's really, this one here, yeah. Some people having fun at other people's expense. No thumbtacks on the wall. No sticky notes on signs. No sticky notes on sticky notes. Somebody's just taking the mickey there, aren't they? No purple sticky notes. You ever done that when somebody's put a notice up at work and you thought, you know, that's just a bit silly, that, you know. So I'm just going to put something up as well, yeah. I bet a few people have done that, yeah. Go on, keep going. This is a factory sign. No trespassing. We're tired of hiding the bodies. Ooh, I love this one as well. Please listen for sobbing before entering my cubicle. It's okay, you know, just because you're Christian, means you still have a laugh at this, you know. You can still have a laugh. It's meant to be funny, yeah. Yeah? Cut Esler. One for the ladies. Caution, men at work. Women work all the time, but men have to put up signs when they work. Yeah. I thought I'd get a round of applause. Yeah. Your mother is not here, please clean. That's for teenagers in the workplace. Your mother is not here, please clean your own mess. That could be at home, couldn't it? As well, couldn't it? You know, for your incompetent teenager. This is for those who want time to fly at work. The time on the clock may move slower than it appears. Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Due to the current workload, the light at the end of the tunnel has been switched off. And this one is my favourite one. Work sucks. I'm retiring. Anybody looking forward to that? No? Yeah? One or two people. You've got a long time to go, though, haven't you? No? Yeah, all your life, yeah. Mind you, could always retire early, couldn't you? Some people are able to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Pauline, for that. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Just a little bit of fun, you know, to lighten the... Yeah. So according to a survey, I'm going to move on quickly now. According to a survey, job happiness survey, if you're in government or public service or management consultation or the arts, culture and entertainment, you have the highest job satisfaction and happiness of all the jobs that are going. Yeah? Isn't that good? I think that includes education, Roy. Okay. Government public service, yeah. Unhappiest, professionals in healthcare. Seriously. Nurses, paramedics, doctors. I mean, there's a serious point to this, isn't there, you know? You know, there is not a lot of job satisfaction. We know that, don't we? I'm not going to get political and talk about the NHS, but, you know, it is a challenge. Ginny was a nurse. Still is a nurse, actually. Still is a nurse. Once a nurse, always a nurse. And it brings huge challenges. 1 Timothy 6:1-2. Let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them despise them because they are brethren. What this is talking about here is that when you have got a Christian boss, or you haven't got a Christian boss or employee, or you might be working with a Christian, not to take advantage of them. And don't let other people take advantage of you as well just because you're a Christian. Yeah? And that's what Paul is saying, you know, that we've got to honour them, because that means, you know, if we don't do that, you know, then God is not honoured in the workplace. How believers act whilst under the authority of another affects how others view the message of salvation. This is critical, really, because you are not just an advert for the gospel. You are a living example of the gospel in the workplace. I'd say, Roy, I'm just going to single you out for a minute, okay? Is that all right? Okay. I've worked with Roy over the years in education. I'm sure everybody knows Roy is a head teacher. Don't want to embarrass him, because I know he's easily embarrassed. But one of the things that I really admire about Roy's witness is that, you know, it's not about going around about quoting the Bible. It is not going around about saying everything is going to be all right. It's a lot more than that. It's about compassion, understanding. It's sensitivity. It's all of those things just wrapped into one. And it's amazing when you see that, when you've actually worked with that firsthand, and you see that, how it works out in the workplace and the difference that it makes in the lives of colleagues and kids in school. It's just terrific, you know. And just want to honour you, Roy, for that as well, you know. Thank you for all that you do, you know, and continuing to do for the next however many years. Yeah. But it's great to see that, you know, how we relate to one another, but how we relate to others, particularly in the workplace, as a businessman, as an employee, makes a huge difference to people being added to the kingdom of God. I was going to speak about some habits of a godly employee: character, reliability, positive attitude, taking responsibility. Albert Einstein said, I'm paraphrasing him now, so don't quote me. He said, out of clutter, find simplicity. Out of discord, find harmony. Out of difficulty, find opportunity. That's really nice. So just to close then, what is our motivation for doing all of these things as servants in God's church, in our homes, our workplace, and our communities? I love old hymns, and I found this old hymn the other day. I'm just going to read one verse to you from this, because it sums up our complete motivation for doing everything, which is God's love. And it says this: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Wow. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It's amazing words, aren't it? Just, you know, why don't we sing songs like that? Yeah. We do. I'm sure we do. We do things for each other out of love and respect. And sometimes we do them, our motivation is for mutual gain. Yeah. But as Christians, first and foremost, it's the love of God. Let me just read this to you. And then we're going to pray, actually. We're going to just have a little time of prayer. You'll recognize this. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep the score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, keeps going to the end. It's great, that, isn't it? Okay. So, I don't know if you were where you work, who you are, where you work, but we are going to pray for you guys. Okay. So what I want to do is, if you're in business, if you are an employer, if you're self-employed, if you work for somebody, just stand and we're going to pray for you. Jim Wallace. Jim Wallace gave a great testimony yesterday at the men's breakfast, and I asked him to come and pray for us today because Jim's faced some real challenges in his workplace as well. So he's going to pray for us as well, for all of us really. But yeah, so let's just stand, okay? And Jim's going to pray. If this applies to you, just receive it. Okay, Jim.
Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to pray and to praise you for what we have in Jesus. And I pray for each one of us here today who's working, who's going through difficulties, who are in management, who are an employee, who are struggling through relations with people they work with, that, Lord Jesus, you would make us to be light, to shine in the dark places, when it's hard, when it's tough, when we feel downcast, that we look unto you, Lord, that you break the fear in every situation, that we can stand because we have the victory in Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would uplift our heads above and into the light that shines brightly into our lives. Lord, come and renew our lives that we might shine and people may recognize who we are, that we have the answer to life. We have the answer to our situation. We have the answer to the people in this world. And that name is Jesus. Amen.